Hey fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hello fashionpreneurs, welcome back to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. I am Jess, the founder and CEO here, and I'm really, really excited to have a special guest, Miss Brittany Turner of Sorella. I'm going to have her introduce herself so you guys know who Miss Britt is. But me and Britt connected probably like a year ago, and she's just a vibe. So I was like, we got to keep connecting and keep connecting and keep connecting. So here we are today. But Britt, tell them who you are.
My name is Brittany Turner. I am the president and co-founder of Sorella Boutique, which is a very popular LA women's-based brand. Yeah, that's who I am.
Yes. So yeah, me and Britt connected on Instagram first.
Yes.
We was like, love your vibe. And then
I think it's a short hair thing.
It's a short hair. And I think it's like the sneakers, the nails. It's a lot. It's a vibe. It's a different vibe. So we connected there. I remember hitting you up about my retreat. So we at first worked together because we had the Fashionpreneur retreat back in March before the Rona hit. And
loved it. I was one of the judges.
You. Yes, you were one of the judges.
It was such a great and inspiring event. So
thank you.
I was happy to be a part of it.
I'm mad we didn't get through to the third day.
Yes, that's when the virus just hit. That's crazy.
Yep. So we had to stop at day two, but it was good. It was still awesome. So I'm excited about that. And we're going to pick up on day three soon. All right. This is entry 29. And this entry is called Creating Killer Content with Brittany Turner of Sorella Boutique. So if you guys know anything about Sorella, I don't even know if you know this, Britt, but like you guys are part of my inspiration for regular exposure. So
thank you.
When I first started my brand, I remember trying to figure out what is my brand's vibe and trying to get people to understand who I am. I've always been the girl back at home in Baltimore. Like when we go out, the girls wear heels, makeup. Like I've always been the girl that was putting on J's, like always. And nobody got my vibe. And I wanted to create a line that was high end streetwear, like sportswear, like really sexy sportswear. That's what I wanted to do. And I remember when I first saw you guys on social media, I was just in love with your content. You guys have always put out amazing graphics. Like this is nothing new. So I see how many other brands you guys have inspired with just your content. If you guys look at your highlights on Instagram, you have wallpapers. It's like a lifestyle that you created. It's not just like a boutique where you can just buy an outfit and go. You're becoming part of the community. So how did you guys find the inspiration behind Sorella?
Sorella was founded by myself and my two other partners, Heather and Terrell. Mm-hmm. And I think the unique thing about us is that we all bring a different vibe.
Yeah.
Just like you, I've always kind of been the tomboy girl. Mm-hmm. And my partner was more of a girly girl.
Yeah.
So just naturally, when we came together, it was a perfect combination because we attract every girl now. We attract the tomboy who also wants to wear dresses sometimes. Mm-hmm. We attract the girly girl who likes to dress up in heels. But then we also have our other partner, Terrell, which brings kind of like a LA street vibe to our brand. So I think that's where we merge and we kind of create a unique vibe.
Yeah, I love the brand. I love that you guys always create like capsule collections within it. Like I saw that Heather and Terrell had like the Meeks brand. I remember seeing Swish, which was like the menswear. So I feel like you guys are hitting on so many different markets while still reaching that same target customer. So love what you guys are doing. We're talking about content, right? So you guys have like the most bomb content. It's just what it is.
Thank you.
How do you guys go about creating your content? Like, do you guys have meetings where you talk about what you're going to create for the month or like the quarter? How do you guys go about creating it? And you guys change your website homepage like almost every few days. Like you keep it fresh.
For sure.
How do you guys do that?
As far as changing the website, that's scheduled down to a T monthly. We have a graphic designer who has a full 5-day schedule, and we try to change our website at least twice a month, if not for sure once.
Yeah.
How we create content, like I said, we're a team full of creatives.
Yeah.
We come together and we take in consideration the collection that we have. And I think even before we create the collection, we kind of create a vibe for it, which makes it easier to flow into the content.
Mm-hmm.
So we have meetings. We grab inspo. I'm like, we're like everyone else. We grab inspo. A lot of ideas are from the top of our head, but naturally we also grab inspo. We gear towards the culture. That's us. So it's easy for us because we are the culture.
Yeah.
All three of us come together and that's what we are. A lot of brands are kind of forcing themselves to be the culture or to reach for that. But it's hard when you're not that.
Yes.
So, I think that's our one up too.
Very true. Very true. Now, with you guys creating like Girls Tour, I feel like you guys started the Trek Girl.
Oh, vibe. For sure.
For sure. Like y'all started it. And I was watching this YouTube video with Heather and Terrell when she spoke at Revolt. And she was like super nervous. And she talked about like Terrell was just telling her like, you started. This is what you started. Like nobody was doing this before you. And now there's so many new Trek Bay brands out there. How did you guys decide that that was the lane to go in? Because I've never seen it before.
Again, I think that goes off of just like us merging our girly and streetwear vibe together.
Okay.
But that's always kind of been our... Yeah. So first it was Girls Tour, which stands for just like boss ass women in the fashion industry, or not the fashion industry, but just who can create their own fashion and make it their own and stand out and still be a boss ass woman at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it was only natural to create another brand, Trap Bay, which was kind of more appealing to a younger generation as well. Mm-hmm. And that's just for like the hardworking young women out here who are ready to be a boss and work hard and also be fashionable while doing it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And I recently did something a little similar with A Regular Exposure. So we are updating our content. We've been really trying to kill the content over the past year. So we've been working on making like really dope Insta stories. We've always been known as like the brand that makes every girl feel like they are the influence. So we purposely actually reach out to some of our customers that we repost and they get really high engagement and they kill the outfit. We reach out to them and we'll sign them as an ambassador and they can get a percentage off of sales if they sell a certain amount. So they get really excited about that. And we purposely reach out to girls that have already purchased from us. We don't always go after like the big names or the celebrities or the influencers. We go after people that are everyday people. So we've become this brand where people know that they could potentially be featured and be employed in a sense. So we wanted to start promoting our regular girls, but we're making this huge transition where we're going to start doing releases once a month. And with that, we're going to be doing like these huge restocks, these huge drops. We're going to promote it for like 3 weeks leading up into, and then we're just going to drop and hope to sell out in minutes. So that's going to be our new mission. But with that, we have to create our own content. So we hired our own model. We made our own sets back here to start making our content. So pretty much what we're doing is we're actually saving a lot of money by doing this because we're doing all of our shots in-house. I'm taking the pictures and videos with my best friend. We're editing. Ken is over here editing some pictures. He doesn't know it yet, but we're about to send him like 500 pictures today. So like we're really using our resources.
Yeah, you have to. It's hard because it's like you want to create the best content, but you're also a businesswoman. So you have to penny pinch. But you don't want it to look like you're penny pinching. So you have to be creative and have a creative mind and think outside of the box. And things like a set are so great. I love changing our set.
Yeah.
Like you can do so many things and look like a totally different environment.
Yes.
So I think that's awesome.
So what are some things you could tell our fashionpreneurs that are balling on a budget? I think they realize they feel like, oh, well, you guys have successful brands, so you can afford to do whatever. And it's
I think that's the biggest misconception of this.
Ever.
Yeah.
Biggest misconception. It's like we don't have $20,000 and $10,000 budget.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make it seem like it is something greater than what it is. And it's just this big dream that you're trying to reach for.
Yeah.
And it's good that we do things like this and break it down and teach people that actually, no, you can just do this, and you can make it look like this.
And you could do this in your house the same way that like we're doing it. Like my set is right behind us. I don't know if you guys can see it on the camera, but it's literally like pieces of wood in the corner. I think it cost me around like $350 to do the set. So pretty much we swap them out. I found this video on YouTube and this lady had some contractors build her like these wood panels. And then we just literally swap out the colors and we're just going to keep painting small pieces of plywood to swap out the colors. So we're keeping this set simplistic for now. But before this, we even had a set where we had like a vintage TV and stuff all over the wall. You guys can build your own sets for the low low. So I can tell y'all right now, our budget last month to build these sets were $500. And I know we did it for under $375 for a fact. So I feel like it's what's within you and how creative you're going to go. So what are some things that you guys do to stay cost efficient, I would say, when it comes to building your sets and creating your content?
I'm going to go back to when we first started, couple of years, so it's more relatable. There were so many times that we literally just got a model, changed looks, went outside and took content.
Yes.
You want to make sure that you're producing at least social content weekly.
Yeah.
Because that's free promotion. Instagram is free promotion all day.
Yep.
So that's the most cost efficient thing. Doing things like sets, that's another cool step because you can change it out so frequently. Mm-hmm. I know we've done like a vintage vibe. We've done a pink fur wall. Mm-hmm. We've done a graffiti for the FUBU Sorella collection. And we changed it into like a bathroom. And it's like you just create this thing and you change each wall to make it like each shot is in a different room. Mm-hmm. But really, it's these three walls.
Yep.
You're just seeing a different view.
Yep.
And like I said, social content, that's so easy to grab your iPhone, get a friend, put her in some of your pieces and go outside and take pictures, get different angles, do different backgrounds, go to different places in your neighborhood. That's the most cost efficient way, I think, to do it and the most creative way to do it.
For sure. I agree. Like to this day, sometimes I'll just put on an outfit and go outside.
Yeah, myself.
I'm like, man, I'm going to go outside and put on an outfit. So I consider myself an influencer for my brand. And I'll just pop on an outfit, go outside, take some content. We are always good for just grabbing a model, going outside, getting some video.
I've seen you guys in the fashion district. I'm like, that's genius. Like, that's so smart.
We literally went down to the district and went in front of Fabric and just shot content.
You have to do that. You have to have that out of the mind type of thinking. And we've been so blessed because I'm not an influencer. I don't consider myself an influencer whatsoever. But my partner is a huge influencer.
Yes.
So even from day one, when Instagram wasn't even about influencers or no one knew what an influencer was, we can put product on her and I would style her and take her pictures and we would sell out.
Mm.
And that's how we realized like, oh, okay, this A plus B is going to equal C.
Right.
We put it on her. She wears it. They love it. They buy it. And now we're sold out and we keep continuing the process.
Yeah.
So definitely, I don't even know how I missed that. Please use yourself. Use yourself. You could always set up a tripod and go get your own content. We were blessed to have each other. So I was there taking her photos. So made it a little easier. But hell yeah, use yourself for sure.
Use yourself. Like, that's been one of my major keys. And I mean, as long as it aligns with your brand, you know, not all the time it can work. But for most of the time, for a lot of the new brands that I see, it can work. But I think what I find that's a challenge for a lot of the clients in my Fashionpreneur Academy, like they have all the ideas in the world. And within my curriculum, I make them understand like their target customer. I make it very clear before we even get into creating content and creating your brands. But I find that they don't really have the time. So I feel like the biggest challenge is always time management and understanding when to hire. So a lot of people feel like, oh, well, I can't hire because I can't afford it. Where it's like, you can go get an intern right now to help you in your house. You can go get a graphic designer and they will create graphics for like $150 a week. It's so many ways. So how did you guys build your team? Like what resources did you guys use to really build the team to assist you guys?
We definitely have had interns.
Yeah.
Interns that have turned into employees and been the best employees that we've ever had a part of our team.
Yeah.
I love interns because you kind of get to grow them and mold them to what you want.
Yes.
Versus somebody who's already kind of nurtured in the game and knows their route.
Yeah.
Which is also good too. I think how we grew our team is we look for people who can think outside of the box and someone who can bring ideas to the table that we don't have already.
Yeah.
Which is hard because it's like we've been doing it for so long and we're so creative. So it's hard for people to bring ideas that we haven't thought of or done already.
Yeah.
So that's how we grow our team. We try to seek out people who are young, creative, motivated, and ready and willing pretty much to wear multiple hats.
Yep.
That's a big thing in our company. Everyone, myself, my partners, and anyone who comes on our team wears multiple hats.
Yes.
And I think that's a big one. There's a lot of people who are against that and who just like to stay in their zone and that's okay. But that's not who we want on our team.
Yeah.
That's how we kind of create our team. And we've been so lucky over the past years. We've met some of the most creative people who have elevated our brand so much. Mm-hmm. I wish we can keep them all the time. It sucks separating from people. I have such separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And when you get used to somebody, but that's what they're there for. They're there to grow and move on to the next level. So that's what it is. It's a full cycle of finding new people, finding new creatives, moving on to the next thing, finding people who can bring new ideas and new things to your brand.
And I love what you just said. Like, that segues exactly into what I'm thinking. I feel like a lot of people that listen to this podcast, they always want to be the entrepreneur. They want to be the CEO. I don't think they realize how many opportunities are within companies. And I always get DMs and emails like, oh, are you guys accepting interns? And it's like 15-year-old girls that know they want to be in this industry and 17-year-old girls. And I encourage you guys to send over your resumes, send over those emails. I actually responded to a young lady from Baltimore, where I'm from. And she told me that, oh, you know, one of my girlfriends had interned with you. And she told me it changed her life. And I'm really still close to that young lady that interned. And she was like, I'm moving to LA in a few weeks and I would love to intern with you. And I'm like, oh, not only do you have an internship opportunity, but we have a job opening that it could turn into. So I set up a call with her and she was like, oh my God, like, I can't believe I got this opportunity. But just opening your mouth and being qualified can just get you through so many doors. And she had the qualifications. She was a creative. She's young. I'm always looking for young people because these are the people that are going to be running our businesses when we're 20 or 30 years down the line.
I always think I'm getting older. Like, am I going to lose my cool? Or...
because
I don't want to lose my cool. Like, so I know what you mean. I get where you're coming from 100%. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I just feel like I'm getting older a little bit.
I was looking down my Instagram timeline like a month ago. I had like 1600 posts and I was like, yo, I think I'm losing it. I was looking at like some of the young creators and how organic their content was and like their poses. I was like, I don't even know how to pose. No, I don't think I'm it. I'm not her. My little cousins are taking over. I don't know the music. I'm like, yo, we have to hire. And we're always looking for young creatives. So I feel like, you know, the next generation, I don't think they realize how much of a benefit it is to be employed at our companies. And it's great to be an entrepreneur and want to be that. But understand it's a completely different ballgame being the CEO and being the employee and learning and moving up the ladder. And you have no idea what those positions could turn into. My first employee when I moved to LA, she's from Long Beach. Her name's Linnea. And she actually completed my program, the Fashionpreneur Academy. And I had saw her resume on Indeed. And I'm like, hey, this is one of my students. She had gotten like pretty far in the program, but didn't finish. I didn't hear from her. And I interviewed her and she was like, Jess, I got through your program and it was so rigorous that I realized I don't want to be an entrepreneur. Like, I don't want to do this myself anymore.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, she was like, it's not for me. And I really want to work with you. So now she is the head of production for my company. She manages all production. I literally give her a sketch and a concept and she creates it. So at a regular exposure, we 100% manufacture everything. I suck at buying wholesale. It's horrible. Like, what? It's not
that is
thing.
Like our niche. For sure. It is a hard thing. And it's like, it's hard so because constant. So many people are going to have the same thing.
Exactly.
We all shop at the same place.
Yep.
We're the heart of the fashion world here in LA. And so this is where we get all of our product in. So does everybody every other else. Company in the world.
Yeah.
But it's important to know how to manufacture and create collections because that's what's going to make you stand out.
Exactly.
And it's going to create unique pieces that are going to draw people to your brand.
Absolutely. So I think it's important to have both for sure. There's been days where I'm like, I should probably go down to the district and just grab a white tee to complement these pants that we just manufacture because it's going to be so much more cost efficient. And, you know, we just want to be efficient in everything we do. But for me, I love designing. So we have a system now. Like I said, we're going to do these releases. So I've designed all the way up until like March next year. And we're just dropping. And we like to keep this consistent look where every girl that comes to us, they're coming for that sporty, comfortable feeling. But I do feel like as I expand, it's something I would have to consider with hiring a buyer. That's why I was saying, guys, like as a CEO, I'm not a great buyer. So there might come a time where my expansion comes and it just might be a better idea for us to go down to the district and go to some trade shows and grab some pieces. So as companies expand, you need to get your foot in the door and look out for those internship opportunities because you have no idea. You could be the next buyer, at least in my company for sure. You could be the next designer. I'm not going to be the cool chick forever, as we said. So
I'm officially the cool auntie now.
Yes. Officially. Like I realized I was old last week. My goddaughter, she made me realize like she's 10 now. I'm like, you're going to be a teenager in like a few years. Like I'm old. I'm legit old. So I need
young
to
old.
Figure it. Young old.
Young
old. I'm fly old. That's where we're at with it. So what are three keys to having a killer website?
Content.
Okay.
Unique product.
Mm.
Website flows and checkouts.
So
I want to give an extra one. I want to give a bonus one. Promotion and email subscribers are very, very important. That's who you're going to gear your promotions to. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that your email list is like as stacked as it can be.
Yes.
It's like not a guaranteed sale, but it's a high percentage of a conversion.
Yeah, I get emails from you guys almost like every day, I think. Yeah, we send emails twice a week right now. Sometimes we'll throw in a third and fourth if it's like a sale or something, but we send emails nonstop and we make killer graphics for them. Like, we want them to be very eye-catching.
Right. They have to be. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it right.
Right.
I see so many emails and I'm just like, skip. I don't want to buy this. I don't even want to look through it. So we try to make sure that we make our email blast and just really intriguing, and we make sure that our content is on point, and we make sure that everything goes together, everything flows. Yeah. So our email blast look like our website looks like our thank you cards, our thank you cards look like our packaging, everything flows. And I think that that's very important for brand awareness and brand consistency. You have to do these things so that people feel special and people remember your brand.
Yeah.
Hey, fashionpreneurs. I hope you are enjoying this entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries, but I wanted to personally invite you to my brand new masterclass, Wholesale Vendors Decoded. I'm going to teach you how to launch and develop your fashion line, no matter if you're looking to purchase wholesale or become a brand new fashion designer. We're going to cover it all, and it is very quarantine friendly, on a budget. I know things got super real, super quick this year, so I want to help you understand how to effectively launch this brand on a budget while in quarantine. It's still very possible, and I'm still seeing six figures a month, and I want to help you do the same. All right, so make sure that you register now at thefashionpreneuracademy.com.
We can go outside and we'll see something and it's going to give us the vibe that reminds us of Sorella.
Right.
You know, people go and send me pictures all the time like, oh, this made me think of a regular exposure. Like, there should be a vibe where there's a certain thought that becomes top of mind when I see visuals and I see creativity outside. I see art. Like, I automatically think of your brand. It's very hard for me to explain like exactly what a brand is all the time to people, but I try to explain to them like, it's you literally creating your own culture within your product. And you have to promote that creativity, and everything around it should remind us of that product.
Exactly.
So I feel like that's really what it's about. Okay, so I got another question for you. I don't know if you saw recently, have you ever heard of Hanifa?
Oh, this is, look at this. Look at my notes. Isn't that crazy?
So Hanifa, she is from Maryland as well. Hanifa owns it. Love, love, love her. She has been killing it over the past couple of years. She's had features in Vogue. She's done amazing. And she actually just killed it. I'm sure you know about it.
During quarantine.
Yes. She had like this amazing 3D fashion show. But I don't know if you saw also right after that on social media, Forbes put out an article saying that someone else started the first tech show. Like, they were saying it was going to be this first tech show. All of my Black girls went in.
Rally.
One of my good friends, Lori Swain, she put up something. She was like, we got to get this ticket down. And Forbes ended up putting up a statement saying that they wanted to make a correction. Hanifa was the first brand to create the 3D tech show. And I was like, yes, we doing it. We did it again, Black people. So
good. I love that. Yes! I love that they fix their mistake, because a lot of times
people don't.
A lot of times people don't backtrack. They stand on what they stand on and they keep it pushing.
So I was really excited.
I love that she got her recognition.
She did. So what are your ideas on tech fashion shows? I know you guys have obviously your store on Melrose, but you guys are killing online.
Yeah.
So what are your ideas on like the innovation of like tech fashion shows? Do you think that's something that you ever consider?
We haven't tapped into it yet, but I think that it's a great idea. Naturally, when the world progresses, you want to progress with it, and fashion comes with that.
Yeah.
So where we are, it's like tech is everything right now.
Everything.
So it's only natural that fashion follows suit. I think that it's a genius idea.
Yeah.
Even legends like Nipsey was in tune with tech fashion, and just linking it to his, not only were you purchasing merch, but when you purchased that merch, you also had a scannable barcode that let you stream his music and things that were unreleased. I think that's so genius.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think that is so cool. I would love to do things like that or bring tech to fashion in Sorella within the next couple of years. I think that would be great. And I think it's only natural to move forward with the times and dominate that too.
I definitely want to hire. I need someone that's going to help me with tech because it's a whole different ball game. But I know for a fact that I want to do things that are more technically driven. I want to do things that are more innovative. Right now, of course, like the e-commerce, we're killing it. But because there's so many e-commerce companies, you have to do things to stand out. And the best way to do that, especially, you know, with COVID-19 and everybody's like, you know, we're going to get back to normal. There's going to be a new normal.
Yeah.
And I think that we're not going to get back to our old way of living. And I think that we're going to have to get used to doing things online even more. I feel like
I think it was an eye-opener for sure. I didn't know that online could do what it could do until you were forced to only be online.
Exactly. Very true.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that we're going to have to adjust to the new normal.
Yeah.
But I think the new normal, at least for this part in the fashion industry, is not a bad thing.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, honestly, it's been like the biggest blessing. Like 2020, when the pandemic first hit, like I said, it was the day after our retreat. I was like, well, the day before our last day of the retreat, I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I don't know what's about to happen, what's going to happen in my business, manufacturing. Mm-hmm. But just to see how my team was able to come together and come up with a strategy. And we came up with a really dope system. We were getting all of our pieces produced in LA, right here in downtown.
See, and I should have reached out to you.
Yeah, we got all our stuff done.
Because all of our stuff halted. Really? It was crazy.
Well, our stuff halted for like a week and then we were able to get back in. But to be proactive, I started producing overseas again back in China. So I started to reach out to my factories there. I started getting all of my products sampled again over there. And I got a whole, like a huge order coming in August, just in case, you know, second wave comes in.
Right.
So it's like, we're just being proactive with inventory. But obviously everything happened with police murdering us. And I feel like it's horrible and horrifying as the times are that we live in. It's been a blessing in disguise. I feel like it's going to be a little different this time because people have come together in a way I've never seen before in my years as an adult entrepreneur. And it's been very, very beautiful to see how we are coming together. And I'm seeing new businesses being created that I've never seen. I've seen support like never before.
Recognition.
Recognition.
For sure.
Forbes saying, I apologize. I never thought I would see the day, you know, that these things become the new norm. I'm seeing brands being held accountable for also not speaking up. I actually decided to part ways with my marketing agency literally because they didn't speak up, you know, and I'm like, we have to now find a 100% Black-owned marketing agency that can produce this. And they exist.
They do, for sure. And just creating things that are Black-owned and creating our own world and our own.
Yes.
Like, we have the capability of doing all of this.
Yep.
We are all of this.
We are all of it.
So, yeah, I agree.
And it's like a pandemic for, I think, that's why I feel like 2020 was a blessing in disguise. I've been seeing quotes and stuff like, you know, 2020 can get no more ghetto, but it's kind of like, y'all, like, look at where we're at now. Like, we're getting recognition. There's change happening. The Breonna Taylor law was passed. Like,
it just sucks that you have to go through all of this to get what's right.
What's right.
It sucks. And it sucks that this has to be like a hoorah. Like,
right.
Yeah, we finally got this.
It's sick.
So that part's a little bit disgusting for me, but I guess it's like a cool. All right. We're on to something.
We're on to something.
We're progressing.
We're progressing.
So you got to be blessed for that. But
it sucks.
It sucks. This is how it should have been.
Yep.
We're all one level. We're all equal.
Yep.
It's like, this if way. Not, everything was pretty much gotten from us.
Everything.
So it's like, it's a touchy.
It's definitely touchy, but it's our reality that we're in now. And I hope that people listening to this entry more inspired than ever to just start. And we're not always telling you guys to just start being the entrepreneur. Like, we need more Black businesses and we need more essential businesses. We need Black grocery stores. We need more Black doctors. We need more Black clinics. My sister's a Black doctor and she's working on things. Like, we need more
Black lawyers, Black people in law. It's so important.
We need more Black employees that are creatives as well to continue to grow our businesses. So obviously, if you're listening to this, you're inspiring to do something creative. We need you. We need more Black teachers. We need more Black curriculums. Don't just feel like you have to go into fashion because you love clothes. If you're going into fashion because you love clothes, it's not always going to be the end all be all. You have to go into this because you are creative at heart. Like, there's so much more than clothes. Like, I rarely touch clothes at my company. Like, I'm solely responsible for being the CEO. So with the regular exposure, I still design. But I don't touch product much anymore. I have to have communications with my accountant, with my lawyer all day. Today, I have to spend like 3 hours going over a lease with my lawyer for my new warehouse space. Like, there's so many things that goes into the day-to-day that do not require you to pick out wholesale product.
Right.
So really understand the different positionings out there. You know, like me and Brent have been saying and really preaching this entire entry is, don't be scared to just speak up and don't be scared to show that you are that creative. We are looking for young innovators. So I hope that you guys just remember that and not take it lightly. I know, Brent, you already told us how frequently you create that content. You were saying like each week for social media, you guys change out your website each month. Any other tidbits you want to give for like the frequency of creating new content?
Definitely create a plan, mm-hmm. create a plan and a goal, goals every month that mm-hmm. you want to execute. For instance, we try to do editorial at least once a month.
Yeah.
We do product at least 3 times a month and maximize your time. During product, we stop and we get a little bit of editorial. So yeah. we kind of get best of both worlds. And that's going to give you more content. While you're shooting, don't only just shoot stills. Get boomerangs, mm-hmm. get videos. And you can do that on your phone. Send yep. it over to your graphic designer, hook it up, and now you have a email blast. You have a yep. website header. You have content for Instagram. You have mm-hmm. everything. So you want to just make sure that you're maximizing your time while you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
For sure. I
Very
think
dope.
Stand out. You can have the same products as 100 brands, but what's going to make people come to your website is how you make it look.
I always tell my students, as soon as I see a vendor image, it's no, absolutely not. Like you have to create the brand. And that's what you guys have done to the point where
we have vendors that take our photos.
Yes. Exactly.
It's crazy.
Like vendors, oh my gosh, my picture is on Alibaba, AliExpress, on vendor sites, on Fashion Go.
I hate it. I'm like, you don't even understand how long it took us to create these images and how much hard work it took us for you to just copy and paste it onto your site. It's crazy.
And it's the new normal.
It is.
It's the new normal. It's
don't like, let this be your new normal, people.
Let
please.
Me tell you how I remember, like recently, a lot of my stuff has been knocked off by vendors. And that's one of the things with manufacturing that I hate is like, soon as your stuff comes out, they're taking it.
Yeah.
So I've gotten my stuff copied a million and one times. That's not really anything I take personal anymore. But one thing that has been happening is when we run like our social ads, brands add, like, well, people will ask like, oh, has anybody shot with this brand? Is this legit? You know, where it's like, oh, I found this on AliExpress for less. Is this the legit store? And it's like, dog, we're the creators.
Right.
And that's why it's so much more work to do because people don't know that. And it's important that you guys understand that we created this. So I was telling my team the other day, like, you guys got to stop getting upset when you see that we've been copied. Like,
oh, yeah,
that's going to happen. We're in the creative field.
Sure.
Welcome to the real world.
People are going to copy your ideas.
All
people
the time.
Are going to. And it sucks because there's going to be new customers that didn't know that that's your idea. And now it's their customer.
Yeah.
So it comes with it.
It comes with it.
Unfortunately,
it
comes with it. But me, I take pride in that. I think that makes me, I'm proud. I'm like, you want to copy me?
But I tell you, I feel so, the first time it happened and I saw like a major brand did it, I was like, yo, like I'm really a great designer. I feel like I just got my Oscar in design. Like, I really do. And also, I told my team, they're like, Jess, we got to do something. I'm like, y'all, the time that it's going to take and the money it's going to take financially for us to legally handle these things is not even worth it. And we might not win because of certain copyright and patents. So what you guys need to understand is we're going to do what we can, but you guys got to realize that we got to keep it coming. The same way
that's what it is. People are going to copy you
all the time.
All the time. But you have to understand that when they're copying you, they're 5 steps behind you.
So keep
because
it.
I'm already on the next thing.
Period.
I'm on the next thing that you're about to copy.
Period.
Sweetheart, you got to catch up.
Period. It inspired me so much, though, because like I said, we have this new release system. So every month we're dropping something new you've never seen before every single month to the point where it's going to be like, I can't even keep up. So I feel like it really inspired us to reach a new season in a regular exposure. It's like, yo, we're just going to keep fire coming. Drop it 2 weeks early. Everybody buys with us. Let people promote it and keep doing the same thing. So,
yeah,
I tell people it's business. Like, don't take it personal, y'all.
No,
like, it's not about you. They didn't come and steal from you. They're copying. And they do this to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's inspo. You're on somebody's inspiration board.
And that's just okay. What it is.
Sometimes people use inspo and tweak it. Sometimes they copy it verbatim. That's how it goes.
All right. Now, I know you guys have an app for Sorella, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We do.
Tell me, what are the benefits to having an app? I don't have an app for regular exposure. It's something I looked into like a year ago and kind of halted. But do you guys feel like it's beneficial?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we relaunched our app about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Prior to that, we were on a different platform for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when we relaunched 3 months ago, a couple months prior to that, we realized we weren't maximizing our sales in our app and we didn't know why.
Yeah.
But we knew something wasn't right. So we went back in with our web developer and we redeveloped our app and we relaunched it. And since then, our revenue from our app has grown so much, pretty much matched our website.
That's dope.
So definitely what you're doing is you're giving your customer an easy way to access you.
Yeah.
Not only are you doing that, but they're visually seeing your app on their phone every single day when they swipe, which is embedding it into their brain to go on and shop. It's an easier way to send notifications.
Mm-hmm.
So just like every other app that you have on your phone, you get notifications. So anytime I have a sale, bam, you get a notification. Even if I'm not having a sale that day, I'm sending you something that's showing you new content
mm-hmm.
or new pieces that we have. It's so important to give your customers convenience.
Yes.
That's what everybody looks for right now.
Yeah.
Convenience. So it's easy to open up your app, shop, and check out versus love me it. Going to this step and then this step. And then I have to go through, flip through this. And then
yeah.
now I'm buying.
Love
but
it.
A lot of people don't go through that full process.
Mm-hmm.
With the app, it's just a click, tap, check out.
Love
so
it.
Definitely beneficial. I definitely recommend getting it. And it just, I love seeing our app. It's just so visually appealing
yeah.
and so aesthetically pleasing. I love our app. I love it.
Dope. Okay, I'm going to have to download it.
Please
love
download
it.
Our app.
Yes. Perfect. Okay. Well, did you have any other gems you wanted to drop? You hit on a lot.
I feel like we did.
This was like super dope. This was probably my favorite entry of the year.
Oh, thank you.
Like,
I love
sure.
that. I
for
love
sure.
that. Any gems I would give is definitely go hard. Go hard for whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Spend those sleepless nights
yes.
some nights and you don't have to box yourself into one thing either.
Yeah.
The most successful people in life have multiple things going on, and that's okay. Do that.
Yes.
Tap into everything that you're interested in, but perfect all of your things that you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, spend those sleepless nights. It's going to be a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of restless nights, mm-hmm. a lot of times where you're like, dang, I want to go to this and do this, but I got this
yeah.
going on. But stay focused because it's going to pay off.
For sure.
You may not know it in that moment, but when you look back a couple years later, you're like, damn, I
yep.
accomplished a lot.
Yep.
I made history.
Yes.
I made this legendary
yeah.
because of all these sacrifices that I took along the way.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Major.
Those are my gems.
Those were great gems.
Thank you.
I feel like my gem for this entry, I don't know, it felt like I kind of went back. Maybe because I'm going back home tonight too. I'm going back to Baltimore, but I've come such a long way. Like, it was not easy moving across the country and when I first moved, I had like a 400 square foot office across the hall. And then I took this space, which was the biggest space. And now moving into my warehouse, like I'm going over my lease later with my lawyer and we're going into like the 6,500 square foot warehouse. And
oh,
it happens.
Wow. Congratulations
so
on that
thank
too.
You,
that's
thank
awesome.
You. And it happened so fast. And one of the reasons that we got the warehouse was for content. So we could have more space to build sets
right.
and have an industrial look. I say all that to say like everything happened for me very quick. I didn't move to LA until December 2018. December 31st to be exact, 2018.
Oh, wow.
No, the 28th. It's only June 2020. So I encourage you guys to be willing to sacrifice, like you said. You know, I had to sacrifice being with my family every day and having those things that felt comfortable. So I hope that you guys inspire to get uncomfortable because in that you reach your highest level of success. So my brand is at its highest level of success it's ever been at. I couldn't imagine where it would be if I would have just chilled and did what was comfortable. You know what I'm saying? So just get uncomfortable because you have no idea what's on the other side.
Love that.
That's my gym
get
for
uncomfortable.
Today.
Yes. I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
All right,
sure.
y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening to another amazing entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Thank you so much, Britt, for coming.
Thank you for having me. I love being a part of anything
thank
that you ask me for, Jess. I got you. I'm
thank
here.
Thank you.
I love being a part of everything
thank
you do. You're
thank
so
you.
Inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you.
For having me.
Likewise, whatever you need from me, let me know. Look, I'm going to get my nails done from one of the girls that you
love your
posted.
Nails. I've been looking at. Whoa.
Your knees are so old.
Which
I'm going
one?
To the nail trap next Friday.
Oh, I love the nail trap.
I think her name's Becca.
Becca, love the nail trap.
I told her
shout
I want
out
some,
nail trap.
Oh, my gosh. I told her I want crazy Black Lives Matter. Like, go crazy. Go ahead. Tell me what you want. I want Malcolm X.
I'm going to do BLM nails for, you know, I just launched a magazine.
Yes.
So I also have a magazine, the Tip Magazine.
Yep.
And my next issue is going to highlight just Black excellence. And I just want my whole magazine to just be filled with just everything Black. Like, that's what I need. So
I'm so happy for you. You have been doing a lot. Like you said, you're tapping into everything you love. You love nails. You know, you love it. So I'm so excited for you and what's coming this year, because you're really evolving as an entrepreneur and a mogul, I feel like, yourself.
Thank you.
So I'm trying
to leave something for my kid.
Yes.
I'm trying to leave a legendary legacy for my baby.
I love it.
So
I love it. All right, y'all. Well, that was another entry, and we will see y'all next week.